Good morning.
Good morning.
And grace and peace to you. We were going to deliver this lesson last week, but you know what happened, so we're delivering it this week. And the Lord allowed us to do that. We were thinking, since we were getting back to our Bible classes, that we would have a lesson on the word of truth, the word of God, how important that it is. And we were studying in our class up here the observation that if we did not have this book of God, how much we would not know, that we would totally be floundering in a wilderness of speculation. And I didn't share this with the class this morning because I just thought of it. All the myths and fables like surrounding the gods of the Greeks and the Romans, or where we came from, two gods got together and so forth and so on, and some of these other myths about, you know, I can't remember them all, about a turtle. Anybody remember those? And yeah, just pure fables and guesses and guesswork, and that's what even some of these scientists try to do today, just guesswork about where we came from. Here's the truth. Here it is. This is the truth of the reality of life, how we got here, who we are, who our God is, and so forth. We've used this scripture, and I'm in John 18. You got a ticket there today. We've used this scripture a lot lately. I don't want to wear it out, but I don't know that we can wear this one out. When Jesus was in front of Pilate, John 18, 37, therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I've been born, and for this I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Famous words, and many people quote that. But it may, again, may be the most important question of all time. And just wanted to remind our Bible class teachers that we are handling the truth. We're always handling the truth. And again, I want to thank all those who have stepped forward to put themselves in those classrooms with those little kids. It can be scary at times. They can ask some good questions. They can get a little bit wild. But we're thankful that they're volunteered and God is with them, and we continue to pray for them in their work in teaching. When Pilate asked what is truth, we can ask a few questions about that ourselves. Where can you go to find truth about you? Do you know you? Did you ever pause to just sit down and think about yourself? You know, not what you want to eat for lunch or what you want to get at Boscoff's, but how you function inside, how you make decisions, why you are irritated at some things but not at other things, why you have a conscience. Do you ever pause to consider why that is all there? It's worth a few minutes. Where did we come from? Is there a God? What is he or she like? You know, a lot of people are talking about that these days. Why is there both good and evil? In fact, you know, the point is, why do I sense that there's good and there's evil? Why is that the case? Why isn't just things things? Why don't just things happen? Why do we believe with all of our hearts that what Mr. Putin is doing with Ukraine is evil? Why do we believe that? If this was a world without a God, there would be no good and evil. There would be no source for it, no reason for it. Then here's the question, why do I do both? Why do I do good, but then sometimes why do I not do good? What is that in me that causes that? Why do we die? Why are we born? Is there anything after death? If so, what is it? What's out there? What's next? Is there any next? Does life have a purpose? Why, in fact, am I here? And am I achieving that purpose? Or am I just living? All very important questions about truth. You know, it's most interesting, even ironic, that standing before Pilate when he asked this question was the very truth embodied in a man. Actually, in the Word of God, right? The Word of God became flesh and blood. And here he was when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There he was standing right before Pilate. And Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Wow. Jesus could have really given him some good answers, right? But he chose not to. It wasn't the time. Something else was afoot. Just a few pages back from that reading in John 17, and probably on the day before Jesus was standing before Pilate, he said this in his prayer about his disciples, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Of course, he is the word again embodied in the flesh, the word of God become truth, become flesh. God established that truth from the very beginning because he is truth and cannot lie. He's God. He's eternal, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's good. He cannot lie, he does not want to lie. Whatever he spoke in creation came to pass and that became reality. Truth and reality are one and the same. One and the same. Whatever he said came to pass. He spoke the truth, he spoke power, he spoke wisdom, he spoke goodness, it came to pass. Whatever he said to man is right and wrong was true. Remember, just even going back to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, you can eat all the trees in the garden, including the tree of life. But this tree over here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. You'll surely die. That was truth, wasn't it? Amen. They ate of it. They listened to the devil. They ate of it. They died spiritually right away and then brought death and sin into all the world, and it cascaded down through the generations even to us today. We still die because of our sins. Whatever he established as worship at various times, whether it was under Noah or during the time of the Israelites and the law, or now during the new covenant with the church, was to be followed. What did he say to the woman at the well? Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And truth. When Jesus said that in his prayer, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. He was saying that those who follow God's word are the ones who are set apart for God and for his service and for his special blessing. A person cannot be so sanctified except by the truth of God's word. You cannot be sanctified for God's purposes apart from this word, from knowing this word, believing this word, and following this word. It's not possible. Only the truth, or as it said in another place, will make you free. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. This will be our main scripture today. We've been here before, you've been here before, but we thought we'd again use this as we refocus on the Holy Scriptures and teaching it in our classes. Today, as in every generation, there's lies, there's false teaching, there's half-truths. We talked about that in our class this morning. They proliferate. People invent their own truths. They try to add to the Word of God. They take away from it. They say, this is true for me. It may be true for you or not. There are competing worldviews and religions. You know, there's atheism. I'm not going to define all these. Humanism, naturalism, various belief systems, religions. The devil has done his work well. You know, he didn't stop working when he deceived Eve and got them both to eat of the fruit. He didn't stop working then. He's continued to work and continues to work today to deceive people to believe the wrong thing and to draw them away from Christ. So we have to counter his work and the world's deceptions with God's word of truth. To first of all, learn it. You hear me say more than once, time and again, read the book. Set aside time to read the book. Study the book. These are the words of life. You will learn to enjoy it, to exalt in it, to love it. Please do that. Learn it. Believe it. A lot of people learn it, but they really don't believe it. Do you know that? They have all kind of Bible truth, but they're not really believing it. And then the next place where they fall down is they don't live it. They don't live it day by day by day, hour by hour. They don't put it into their life to live it, to love, to be caring, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be helpful, to be generous. They don't do that. They just tend to think about themselves. What do I need today? What do I want to do today? We could get way off on that. And then lastly, we need to teach it. Even as Don prayed in his prayer. Teach it whenever we have an opportunity. And we'll be talking about that as we get into the lesson here. Because Paul is very much talking in 2 Timothy about teaching the word. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to start with verse 13. Before I do that, there's one point I want to make. And this has to do with people wanting to reject this word of God and develop their own lies, if you will. In fact, let's read that first verse. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This has been the case from generation to generation. And today, there's kind of this thought out there. And maybe you've heard this, that okay, religion has been a good thing for the human race up to today. God, Jesus, it's been okay for us to get us to where we are. But now we have advanced scientifically. We have advanced psychologically. We have advanced medically. We don't need religion anymore. That we can take care of ourselves and just move on from here. Believe me, that might not be expressed outright in what you hear and see in different places, even on the news, but that is at the foundation of what a lot is going on in this country. We just don't need God anymore. He's passé. We can do it ourselves. And so we have the evil men. They're evil. They're wicked. When they teach other than what is true, other than what conforms to reality, a person is evil. We're afraid to call people evil these days, aren't we? The Bible doesn't hesitate. The Holy Spirit does not hesitate. Paul did not hesitate. As we were studying in our Bible class this morning, souls are at stake. This is important. We need to call good good and evil evil, or people are going to die. They're going to lose it all. And then imposters, those are sometimes the worst. Now they pretend. They pretend that they know what they think they know, just for their own good, for their own position, for money or whatever it is. So we've got to know that word, because this is around and it's been around in every generation. Verse 14, he's writing, of course, to Timothy. Timothy was an evangelist. A couple of these things we might say particularly would apply to an evangelist or a preacher, but generally speaking, they would apply to all of us and even to teachers of the word in any venue. He says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, from his youth, had a great blessing. Earlier on in this letter, Paul wrote about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And they had been teaching him, as it says, from childhood. From childhood. And this should ring a bell for every parent and every grandparent. Teaching people, teaching children, your grandkids, your kids, the word of God about Jesus Christ, about the truth, is the most important thing you can teach them. It is. You're teaching them the reality of life. Sure, you got to teach them about how to balance a checkbook and how, you know, what do you buy at the grocery store and manners and stuff like that. But this is what needs to be taught a daily basis, in and out. The Word of God. Timothy had a great advantage there, and that those lessons sank in with him, and he became a believer. And then he was even more blessed because the Lord brought him in contact with the Apostle Paul. And Paul was able to take him from that stage and teach him even more. And he became an evangelist in the first century. He was taught from the sacred writings, the sacred book, the word of truth. Open up that book in your home. Read it, teach it to your kids. It provides that wisdom, as it says, that leads to the salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Only the word of truth gives us information. You don't find it anywhere else. It needs to be impressed upon our children. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's inspired by God. Here we have God again at work, God working through the writers. The word, of course, means God breathed through the Holy Spirit. God is behind it. Nothing was written that was not authorized by God. Nothing was written that was not true. It's all God's word. You know, from time to time we wonder, why did God put that in there? Well, Sometimes we may never find out. A certain little detail that seems odd, but if you study it out, it might be something very important. But maybe you'll never find out. But the main things are there. It's not difficult. There are some difficult passages. But by and large, it's not hard to understand. It's really not, unless you don't want to, unless you don't want to accept it. But it's quite plain if you want to learn it and grow. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. This inspiration of Scripture guarantees its truthfulness, guarantees that we have what we need. I love this passage from 2 Peter 1. And it goes to what we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Here is Peter making this statement. By God's divine power, whether we're talking about God's providence and watching over this whole unfolding of the early church and the inspiration of the scriptures and the writings, God's providence, or again, through the power of the Holy Spirit to inspire the writers, probably both and probably more than that, His divine power has granted to us what? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Peter's writing this in the first century. There wasn't going to be anything else necessary for how to live life, to be godly, to be saved. It was all given in the first century. There would be no other revelations, no other need for any other kind of extra biblical writings, edicts, or what have you, for us to live. It's all here. Peter says that. So we should be thankful. This is all inspired. It's all the Word of God. We have what we need to be pleasing to God and live that life of godliness and to find life eternal. Let's look briefly at what Paul says here. That the Word of God, or all Scripture, is profitable. It's profitable. I bet I ask you, if how many of you had money in the bank or money in an IRA, you'd all raise your hand. And you put it in a place that you thought was profitable for your money, right? That would return something on your investment. Well, this is what Paul is saying about the Word of God. If you invest time and brain power in studying the Word of God, it will return a great profit to you. It's not a waste of time. It'll bless you in so many ways. It's profitable. And look what he says it's profitable for. And I would say it's even might go beyond this, but these are the things he's focusing on for Timothy, for teaching, or some translations have doctrine. That's just the basic stuff. Like we're saying here, there is a God. God created the heavens and the earth in the 6 days and so forth. Jesus is the Son of God. This is how you're saved. Hear, believe, repent, be baptized into Christ, live a righteous life. How to worship, things like that. How to relate to your spouse. What is love? All these things, basic teaching about where we came from, where we're going, some of these thoughts we just had at the beginning of the lesson. Basic instruction. Reproof. Sometimes we get off track and we need to go back to the Word of God for reproof. That means to correct, and I know the next word is correct, but to show or point out error. You're believing wrong, you're doing wrong, whatever it is, you're acting wrong. The Scripture points that out if we'll let it. if we don't ignore it, if we don't just bypass it, if we let it sink in, it will reprove us. And then it will correct us. In other words, it will point us to what is right. It can convict me at times that I'm not treating Shirley right. I'm being a little too selfish. I'm not attentive enough to her needs. And it will tell me what I need to do. And we talk about love, and we mentioned this again in our Bible class. First, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm shortening that up. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's like yourself. She's like yourself. Jesus added one, love one another in the body as I have loved you. And then there's another one for husbands. Husbands, don't forget it. You love your wife as Jesus loved the church. That's a tall order. Sometimes I don't do it. Anyway, we can get reproved and we can get corrected. And then, what is the last one? Training in righteousness, some say it instruction in righteousness. This is how to live a disciplined life, a godly life, in order to stay on track. That's what this is about. To develop the proper, if you will, habits of way to think, the way to live, the way to conduct your life, so you won't get off track, get on the wrong path. You can be trained to do what's right. That's what the Word of God does. And believe me, you can't be trained in 15 minutes a week. If you ever had training in anything, some of you have been in the military, how much training did you get? You got a lot of training in all different kinds of things. And any other people who have been in some kind of a job, nursing, how much training do you get in nursing to do all the things you do? You get all kinds of training. You can't get trained in doing life in 15 minutes a week. You got to apply yourself on a regular basis. Training in righteousness. Here's the outcome. Verse 17. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the basic purpose. I think some translations say they're complete, right? Equipped for every good work. This is where we ought to be going, as we talked in our Bible class again this morning. Are we trying to please men or God? We should be trying to please God, and if so, this is where we want to go. That we are adequately equipped and trained and ready for every good work that God wants us to do. That's the aim, the basic aim here of the scripture. And so we need to apply it, read it, study it, and apply it. Chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Wow. That ought to make you sit up and take notice, huh? A solemn charge in the presence of Jesus Christ, who's judge of the living and the dead. It's coming. This is serious business. Preach the word. That's it. Nothing else. Three little words. Preach the word. The word of God, the word of truth, the Holy Scriptures. This goes for preachers. This goes for teachers. This goes for parents and grandparents teaching their kids. When you want to teach about God, you teach the word. And that's it. You don't add to it. You don't make things up. You don't leave things out. Sure, you got to modify a little bit for a five-year-old, and maybe you don't teach them about some of the things that they aren't ready to hear, but you teach the word. That's the truth. And that's what leads to life. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. You have to be ready. Patience, wow. Why? Because people at times will not listen. They won't receive the word of God. They won't want to hear it. They'll argue about it. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions and wanting to learn. But be patient with people. Some can't just get it all at the same time. We need to be patient. And then be ready in your instruction or teaching. That means to be prepared. Be prepared. Know the word. Know what you're going to teach. Be prepared to present it in a way that's understandable, that's not arrogant, but it's humble, loving, and kind, yet strong, and to the point. Be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, all those things the Word of God will do when in the various situations. And then the last two verses that we're going to share this morning, for the time will come. You know, why all this, Paul, Timothy, why all this? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't want to hear it. They'll drift away. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. You see, anything that really isn't the truth is a myth. It's a fable. It's a lie. And so many people will do that. And so you have to be ready and be patient, because some will want to turn away, and that's what some of the instruction is trying to keep them from turning away to myths and fables, to hearing what's out there in the world or what their friends are saying, or they heard this on this podcast, or they read this on this blog, and that sounds good to me. And yes, but is it the word of truth? So we need to know it, learn it, believe it, and teach it. So, the word of truth, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Pray for our teachers. Pray for us as we move forward from today. Pray for one another that we'll be ready in various situations. When topics come up, that we can teach. You know, maybe it's just a line or two. Maybe it's just I still believe in God. I believe that Jesus is still the answer. Maybe somebody will say, why do you believe that? And somebody will say, oh, you're crazy, and walk away. But you're looking for the heart that might open to the word of truth. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.